Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Mathematics Simplified, a book written as an accompaniment to education resources from the 1920s that my grandfather put out. And surprisingly, there's lots of insights into the world of large classrooms, low resources, no internet, poor travel in the 1920s. Also, the number of people in the class, the girl-boy composition, and children achieving certain things, and the struggle which resulted from it, which is, you know, I don't know, not intensely mathematical. It's interesting to read because it sort of forms a continuity of my experience of coming up with ideas and not getting them out there. It's sort of a commonality there. Okay, you're up to 33, page 52 of this. We've got about 100 pages to go. And we're talking through, it's probably not good podcasting material, how we actually solve these basic problems. So there's a group of, just to remind you, there's a group of these wooden blocks. The teacher's set at 1 inch, the children's sets at convenient 1 centimeter squares. These small things, very small, you can imagine a whole class set of these, quite easy to go. And there's a 10 by 10, 10 by 1 and 1 unit blocks coming forward, and they can all play with these blocks. Now, and there's a series of things where people are taught colours, taught addition, subtraction, fairly complex addition facts, and we're now up to multiplication. This is subsection 33. Multiplication problem. The four children each have 13 lollies. How many lollies do they have all together? Solution. Each child takes a 10 stick and 3 1 cubes representing lollies. The 1 cubes are collected and counted, making 12 in all. 10 of these are counted and checked by measurement and exchange for a 10 stick, leaving 2 1s. A child carries the 10 stick and collects the other 10 sticks as well, making 5 sticks. There's now 5 10s and 2 1s, making 52. Division problems. 52 chickens are put in 4 pens. There are the same number of chickens in each pen. How many chickens are there in each? Solution. Set out the 5 10 sticks and 1 cubes representing 52 chickens. Childs have to be told that it's best to divide the large quantities first. The 10 sticks are arranged, but in the 4 groups, there's 1 10 stick each, but there's 1 10 stick left over. This is exchanged for 10 1 cubes, making 12 all in all. Make 3 ones in each group, and there's no remainder. Therefore, 1 10 stick leads 13 cubes. Now, this method of division is an important one, as it enables the child to visualize each equal group of a division as well as the number in each group. Similar methods of division of unit groups will be used as a child at higher grade to obtain a clear idea of fractions. Okay. Well, I do have my own technology I have for that. Not that I want to sell it, but this is obviously some overarching paper that I have to write. 35. A problem involving 4 rules may be worked out step by step as follows. The problem. A farmer has 2 paddocks, each with 57 sheep in each paddock. He buys 19 more sheep, 2 dies and 7 are sold. He places the rest equally divided into 3 paddocks. How many sheep are there in each paddock? So he's got 2 paddocks. Okay. So we'll just read through this. This is quite a complicated thing. Child chooses a group of 67. So it wasn't 57. It's just the way it's typed. 67. Each composed of 10 sticks and 7 1 cubes. In placing them together, he obtains 134. He knows the flocks is added to by 19 sheep that are bought, and then he adds 19 to the 134. He further knows that 2 dies, flocks lessen, so he places 2 dead sheep aside. 7 are sold and sent away, further lessening the flock. The remainder is 144. He divides 3 groups into 3 groups. I don't quite understand this, commencing with the, because there's only... We told initially that there's two paddocks. He gives 48 sheep to each paddock. More complex problems may be given to suit the increasing ability of the pupil. Okay. 36, measured surface and measured solidity of volume. I love that. Solidity. It's beautiful. When compiling the multiplication and division tables, the child becomes familiar with a measured surface and he finds that square faces of cubes make up a regular shape. He quickly discovers that rectangles are perfect squares. He finds that there must be many ways of rows as there are squares in each row. 36 or maybe 6 by 6. 36 is also the square of 6 times 6 and the square root of 36. These squares and square roots discovered by observation are marked in tables by giving enclosed in a small square. Division of some convenient numbers into three factors may also be determined, thus giving the idea of solidity. 12 cubes may be arranged in two stacks of two rows and three cubes in each row. 8 cubes may be arranged in a straight line of 8 spaces, such as two rows of 4 or two stacks of two rows and two in each. A convenient number such as 64 may be demonstrated as a series of things. 64 in a row, 8 by 8, or 4 by 4 by 4. These exercises will prepare the child's mind to grasp the idea involving a large group of 1,000 cubes constructed of 10 stacks of 10 rows and 10 cubes in each row. Part 3, Arithmetic for Primary and High Schools. 37. The handling of material by children when in classes enable them to obtain vivid images of all numbers 1 to 100. The actual handling of counters by the child should not be continued when he can perform the work quite easily without them. As a general rule, counters will be handled by a child in performing all the analysis of numbers to 20. A small percentage of children, however, will need to handle the counters for analysis of numbers and beyond 20. Long before many children complete their work in infant school, they have been able to learn new steps without actually handling the counters themselves. A larger model with unit represented by inch cubes instead of the centimetre is used in large classes to accustom the children to make decisions from observing without handling. A demonstration by a teacher or a pupil enables the child of the high infant classes to make deductions from concrete illustrations even though the apparatus is many feet distance. That's interesting. That is interesting. I do find that interesting. So you've got approximate demonstration, a long-term demonstration. It's interesting. So I'll just do lab demonstrations while I get everyone up at the front. But I could do a long, vary them, repeat demonstration. That's an interesting thing. I just don't know with the time pressure I have. Well, I don't know whether I'll be allowed back in the classroom. Okay. As a rule, children chosen to handle counters and arrange them at direction of the class should be those who are backward at the work. The brightest child often finds it necessary to have the material before them to stimulate their interest in learning new steps or mastering any difficulties. If a child has failed to grasp a point that has been demonstrated, a useful practice is to allow another child to explain to him privately with the apparatus. Complicated thing, yes. So, let me see. I'm trying to understand that. As a rule, children chosen to handle counters and arrange them at the direction of the class should be those who are backward at the work. I don't quite understand that. The first lesson with the apparatus is an important one. If the teacher wishes to give a lesson with the apparatus to a class, and so apparatus is the Hill's construct of classes, counters, and so you have to understand that this is teaching maths, and this is a manual to teach with the blocks. So I pay a fair amount to that has not seen it. Before, it's necessary for the children to discover the ratio and sizes of the block. The counters are placed on sloping surfaces arranged so that all pupils can see them without effort. Rapid exercises in seeing at a glance numbers of cubes not exceeding 4 are given to make children alert. All children silently count how many one blocks there are in 10 sticks. By measuring 10 sticks and counting in tens, they find that the larger blocks contain 101 cubes. A few exercises are given in rapid recognition of 1, 10, and 100 block. This should take no more than 3 minutes. In primary classes, no lesson should be illustrated without counters until the children know the ratio of their sizes. Good thing. So I'm thinking of Play-Doh molecules, and it's giving me ideas how to do it. Thirty-nine, factoring numbers. After mastering addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, pupils should be given exercises in factoring numbers to 100. To find, I should have my prime number pillowcases, so I've done the prime number theorem. In this, so I've just naturally produced art in this direction. To factoring numbers to 100 to find divisible and indivisible numbers. The method is rule similar to that compiling multiplication and division tables by arranging cubes in rows. The pupils will discover some rows and groups of cubes cannot be arranged in even rows. These represent indivisible numbers or primes. But here's a set of primes. Other groups may be arranged to form rectangles on the top surface, 24, 6 rows of 4 in each row. We found that some groups can be arranged in one rectangle only, while others can be arranged in a variety of rectangles. Also, some groups may be arranged to form squares and others to form cubes. There is no need for bright pupils to discover the above from concrete illustrations. Abstract work alone is sufficient. That's very good. I'm just really, really struggling with my head. It's got me really thinking, thinking about that. 40. The local value of each digit to 1,000 may be concretely illustrated. So this is showing it here. Difficulties with the four simple rules may be removed by illustration with the counters. It has to be found that most errors that occur are connected with the zero, but the zero should not be present any difficulties at all if problems are worked out concretely at first. Four simple rules with numbers of three figures are continued at first with easy reckoning, not requiring carrying 10, etc. The more difficult ones are gradually introduced. I ran a family maths program, a community maths program, and the education department, I couldn't quite work it out, really sort of skewed it, made it really hard for me to do. So I'm just trying to work out what's going on there. Whilst the imagery is fresh and intense, similarly easy problems are given without using counters. Immediately, each problem is solved, either with or without the counters. Its solution and necessary steps are expressed in figures. This assists pupils in remembering the process and enables them to work abstractly from similar problems. So, it goes to me, I should have, when teaching, the track to the, say, N chemical equation. This assists by processing in this way directly from the concrete to abstract, each pupil will obtain their facility, accuracy in dealing with abstract numbers in an immense saving of time or result. The mental exercises after the new process have been understood will be invaluable in obtaining quick work in the application to more difficult problems. Problems presenting difficulties to some children may be solved as follows. Now, I'm just really trying to think, because it's a very confusing world I am in, because I'm trying to think of teaching quantum physics and students learning traditional atomic physics. Okay. Addition, how many 207, 539, and 478 chickens? All right, solution. So that's how you add them together. Subtraction. A farmer, so it says how it does it with the blocks. I'm going to skip that. A farmer has 603 horses and sold 207 of them. How many are left? See if I can do that in my head. So that's 6. Oh, that's 6. And 296. Is that the answer? There are four possible methods of doing it, so it's interesting. It's more that they do it and there's that people understood it. I think he's giving the answer for it. After the problem has been solved, the child can see that no alteration has occurred to the total quantity. This group of counters was used in exchange process. So he's got different methods. Oh, 396. I think I said that right. 396 though? Not sure. So it's 296? I can't remember. There's a method of decomposition, method of equal addition, method of higher values. Again, this is something that we do nowadays. Let's read the method of higher values here. So if you want to, I should put this book on the internet. It might be under the Gutenberg project. Let's read the method of higher values. At a glance, the 10 units reveals that an extra 100 block for decomposition is needed before subtraction is completed. So at the commencement is made with the hundreds, 300 blocks instead of 200 are taken from the group of 6. Two 100 blocks are placed aside one exchange for 10 sticks. This leaves 300 blocks. As no 10 sticks are needed required for 207, one 10 stick is exchanged for 10 1 cubes, leaving 9 10 sticks. Therefore, there are now 13 cubes. From which 7 is taken to complete the number 207. This leaves 6 1 cubes with 9 10 sticks and 300 blocks representing 369 horses. What I was going to say is it is interesting to see how we've actually advanced looking at your own mental thought. Okay, a multiplication problem and a long division. Sorry, that was not very good for you. That was a complicated subtraction one. Three little shepherdesses, each mined 270 sheep. How many sheep are there together? Okay, see if I can do that in my head. 210 plus 600 is 810. Oh, yeah, okay. Right. Three little girls representing the shepherdesses stand before the class. Each one, in turn, takes 200 blocks and 7 sticks. There is no more 1 cubes. 10 sticks are assembled, making 21 in all. And 20 are exchanged for 200 blocks. This makes a total of 800 blocks. 1 10 stick and 0 cubes representing 810 sheep. Division. 708 people together were carried in 3 trains. If the trains had the same number of people in each train, how many did each train carry? 236. What is going on? Okay. Solution. Set out 700 blocks and 8 1 cubes. I tell you what, the kids are absolutely amazed by you doing mental arithmetic. They just don't understand it. Set out 700 blocks and 8 1 cubes. Three boys representing guards for the trains commence with 100 blocks and take equal numbers. There are three groups of 200 blocks and one group of 1 block left. This is exchanged for 10 sticks. These are also divided into three groups, each one stick left over. A further exchange of 1 cubes is then for the 10 stick, making 18 cubes all in all. These are divided into 3 groups of 6 each. So in one group there are 200 blocks, 3 10 stickers, and 1 6 cubes, representing 236 in one train. Long division. Though this operation causes so much trouble to some children, it really is an interesting and simple operation if the steps are properly graded and illustrated. Many of the child's difficulties arise from the method that is usually used, that is proceeding from abstract to abstraction. One is often assumed that all pupils know all about short division. These troubles can be avoided. Before any attempt is made to proceed with the long division, the child should be quite sure of the knowledge of the local value. and of what the numbers in the vision represent. Not only should the advance be made from the concrete to the abstract, but it should also be made from the simple to the complex. A fascinating game to play is the money game. The 1 cubes represent 1 pound notes, the 10 sticks 10 pounds, the blocks 100 pound notes. A start is made with the units, so the child clearly grasps the method of setting out the work. A similar problem is given, such as 6 pounds are given divided amongst some children, so they each get 2 pounds. How many children get the share? This is dramatized. 6 cubes represent 6 pounds. A number of children is... a number of children, about 4 or 5, are told to help themselves to the correct share. The first 3 children take 2 pounds, but none are left but the remaining children, who return to their places. It's seen that only 3 children get the share. This sets down as follows. 2 into 6 is 3. Questions are then asked to emphasize what each figure represents. One child is then asked to point to the number and says how many pounds were placed before the children to help themselves. Another child points to the figure to show how many children received a share, whilst another points to the number that indicates how many pounds each child received. When this is clearly grasped, the sum is completed by adding a number of indicating how many pounds the children took altogether and show what's lost. And to revise all the above points, the similar problem is solved at the first without two blocks, without the blocks. 2 into 8 is 4. This is checked with the concrete and found to be correct. Similar exercises with tens and hundreds, such as 60 divided by 20 or 600 divided by 200 and so on, are given in the form of problems. Divide 800 pounds among some people so that each get 200. How many people receive a share? Solution: set out 800 blocks to represent 800 pounds. This amount is written on the blackboard. The share of 200 is written in the position, pounds is written in the position of the divisor as follows. Several pupils are invited to take 200 blocks representing 200 pounds from the 800, but only 4 can be obtained the share. 4 pupils stand, 4 students, four pupils stand before the class showing that 200 is divisible into 800 4 times without a remainder, etc. This is interesting. Okay. This working is left to the blackboard as the guide. Next problem, e.g. 900 divided by 300. Another problem showing a remainder is worked. Another similar problem is given, so 300 and 800 is 2 people, and a remainder of 200 is left. From the initial problems, Chambers obtains a method of trial divisions by dividing a digit of the highest local value to the divisor into that of the dividend. After a few exercises on this work, the child can perform the tests and trials and divisors as rapidly figures is written. This is actually quite an intelligent way of doing it. When the child automatically performs division processes with divisors, ones, tens and hundreds, problems combining these quantities are given. What is 646 divided by 211? Each child will receive 200 pounds out of a total of 46. So he'll see that there's 3 children and I would say 13 pounds. He put a dot there for some reason. So each child takes 200, so it's 211 into 3646. It's brilliantly done. This is such a brilliant process. Only 3 children get a share. Each child has 1 pound note. This indicated that the unit position of the device, the child is asked to point to it and point to the number that indicates how many children receive a share. He points to the 3 in the quotient. He is then asked to point to the number that indicates how many pound notes on the 3 children have together. Similarly, how many 10 pound notes and how many hundreds notes. He points to this 6 through 3. He finds that by multiplying or working correctly the divisor by the quotient, he obtains this number. The range is 13 pounds, is obtained by subtracting the 633 from the 646 pounds. The local values in dividend, divisor, and remainder are emphasized by performing similar problems. The most difficult part is to make clear the local value of the quotient. Too often the child's only reason for correct work is because the teacher said so. It can be clear that the child can readily understand it. This may be done by working in a long division method problem called such as share £800 among four people, how much will each receive? Four is the divisor, four children are told to divide it equally. Only themselves. The $100 represented by 800 blocks. Each child takes 200 blocks, representing £200. This is set out on the blackboard as follows. 4 into 800 per 200 leaves nothing. Note the 2 is placed in the hundreds position. A problem involving changing the hundreds back block intensity, e.g., 625 divided by 5, that's 5, is it 125 times 5, yep, okay. So 5 into 625 is that. These problems may be checked by reassembling the parts and exchanging where necessary. More exercises are given with increasing difficulties. When any hesitancy occurs, a simple illustration with counters may be given to make the abstract problem clear to the child. 4.43 Money tables. The most satisfactory way of teaching money problems is by actually handling the common coins. This is interesting that my uncle went into financial education. The jingle of coins make the work interesting to a child, as a business deal is to a successful man of affairs. But a certain amount of routine work in the way of money tables has to be mastered before accuracy and speed are obtained. As a substitute for coins in compiling tables, counters are admirably suited. All that is required is to compile 12 times tables for guidance in making the pence table and applying it. The shilling of table is obtained for 20 times table. This is shilling and pence, my poor things. We'll read it through. So you have to understand that before 1964-65 were shillings and pence. We went decimal rather late. For speedy application, the inches table may be associated with the pence table, and since 12 units in each. So this is amazing that the number system used to be Babylonian. The child has learnt to recognise the fractional parts. It's advisable to keep one illustration until the child has grasped the idea. Then the idea can be fixed by applying it in other ways. Okay, the unit. A group of 8 cubes lends itself admirably to the purpose, because this group can be constructed in the form of a cube, which is made so compact that the idea of wholeness of each group is at once apparent. A variety of dividing and constructing exercises may be dealt with in the handling of this group without bewildering the children. Have I missed a page here? And I have to apologize. Indeed, I have. I was wondering, we're going too fast here. Okay. A simple way, English weights and measures, it keeps them going down. A simple way to compile a 12 times table, so you have to scrap that because I took two pages up to page 70, not 72. A simple way to compile a 12 times table is to build up a rectangle with one side composed of 110 sticks and 2 1 cubes. So remember here he's got building blocks and he's using these. Thus, for 12 twos, there will be 2 10 sticks and 4 1 cubes, i.e. 24. For the 20 times tables, the side of a rectangle will be 2 by 10 sticks, e.g. 20 twos make up 4 10 sticks, i.e. 40. I must admit, shillings and pence, and I'll tell you what, in the 70s, they still had the out-of-date booklets, and the teacher's saying, surely you can do shillings and pence, surely you can do that type of stuff. And I just, it just was beyond me. That shows you how slowly education moves during the 70s. Okay, 44. English weights and measures. The only proper way for a child to understand the true value of each unit of English weights and measures is through his senses. From correct representations, after observation of units, the child may be given frequent exercises in judging lengths, areas, volumes, capacity, weights. Then commences the arduous task of mastering 9 and 99 number facts and the names associated with our English system. The different numbers establishing relations in each group may be represented with counters. I'll tell you what, that was on the metric system. The board of the metric board bringing into Australia. He's really enthusiastic about it. It's quite cool. And you can sort of see why here. A small cube may represent the ounce, then the pound would be at 1, 10, and 6 units. Again, the pound weight may represent one cube, and the stone would represent 10 or 4 units, whilst the 100 weight would be 100, well, so on. 100 weight represents by 100 blocks, a 10 stick and 1 cubes by extension. Can you imagine how mad? The child's mind inquiring for some interrelated system. See metric measures. The interesting illustration of capacity measures may be made by the 3/8 method. 1 cube represents a pint, 8 cubes represents a gallon, 64, 1 cubes, a bushel, and so on. Good God, thank goodness we've left this system behind. So, for people in metric, I think the Americans still have the gallons and pints. God, you poor Yanks. Fractions. 45. In dealing with fractions, I have to keep on reading to really push myself. In dealing with fractions, the child passes into a higher plane of calculating number relations. So far, the number work that he has done has dealt with the calculations of units and quantity. But in fractional works, he has to consider the number of equal parts into which he imagines a unit or whole is divided. He has obtained a working knowledge of fractions when analysing numbers in lower classes. From demonstrations of linear surface, solid form, he has learnt to divide whole groups into halves, quarters. Before he proceeds to fractions of complex nature, it is necessary for him to have an idea of the unit as a whole. So far, that's right. So far as he's been looking upon the small centimetre cube as a unit in a number of work, he will now be shown how to regard any group of cubes as units. He soon learns that his unit may be divided into equal groups and that the relation of one of these equal groups to the whole group may be expressed by means of fractions. As fractions enter so much into the calculation works of higher grades, it is essential that the child should obtain a clear idea of the fundamental principle of this selection of arithmetic. Many very concrete examples are required to free the meaning from the specific illustration. Difficulties so often arise and can be traced to a narrow idea the child has of a unit as a whole. This would receive first consideration. It's most important, too, that all the new steps should readily see and understand the interrelation of the various subdivision fractions, such as valid fractions, decimal fractions, ratios, and percentages. That's really interesting. I'll have to reread the book on numbers. So valid fraction, I think that's a valid fraction. I think that is where it's the numerator is greater than the denominator. In performing a practical exercise in dividing, measuring, and weighing objects, in doubling and halving numbers, the child has learnt to recognise fractional parts. It's advisable to, this is page 72. It's advisable to keep to the one illustration till the child has grasped the idea. Then this idea can be fixed by applying it in other ways. The unit. A group of 8 cubes lends itself to admirably to the purpose because this group can be constructed in the form of a cube. Being made so compact, the idea of wholeness of each group is at once apparent. And a variety of dividing and structuring exercises can be dealt by handling this group without bewildering the child. Trust the idea of unity of each group. Several groups of 8 are constructed in cubes. An appeal is made to the imagination to give the value to each group. Suppose the child decides to play a game of chocolates. What I was going to say is that in illustration, I do find that you need to set up one model and then leave that model there and then build the model to the next stage so they can actually look from side to side and see it. Because if they see the new model and they haven't followed how it is, they're lost. And it makes it much better. And so there's 8 blocks of chocolate. He calls each cube, or 8 small cubes, a chocolate, and proceeds to count the number of chocolates that he has. Some of the chocolates are set aside, leaving only one. Now this can be divided into halves, showing one chocolate equals 2 half chocolates, and the halves are subdivided into quarters, which again into eighths from the operations. So it's really rather good. The game is then changed and the unit is called a nugget of gold, a watermelon, and any other object the child decides upon. The facts remain rapid oral work, and so I can say it's much better than, this is much, much better than Parklet's one, because once you go a circle and you divide it, a line, it just is crazy. Rapid oral work in the above is given to fix ideas. If the child has gained the ideas, can proceed to express them in symbols. The meaning of the fraction is made clear. The student sees that the fraction of a thing is of one or more of equal parts into which he imagines the whole is divided. What a brilliant way. This is he's actually good old granddad. Never met him. Can't, unfortunately. Thank goodness for heart operations. I'd be dead as well. Oh, blood oath. Okay. He soon sees the fraction of one thing or more of equal parts into which he may imagine the whole is divided. The meaning of the denominator is explained in terms of the work he has just done. A similar explanation of measuring of a numerator is given. It's not absolutely necessary to use. And my brain is hurting because I've got these things, these tick lists that I want to make sure that I've covered. Similar easy exercises may be demonstrated to show the rule holds good for all cases. Lowest common multiplier. Operations similar to the above are then shown to the group of units 16, 12, 24, 20, etc. Fractions involving 3rd, 6th, 12th require groups of 12 cubes only. Although groups of 24, 36, 48 will be found suitable, though not so convenient. Hence arises the need for the lowest common multiplier to determine the convenient common denominator. This is found in the easy exercise in inspection of denominators and factors. I think my fraction counts are better. So I just have to really think on this, just to go across. It's just that I've got 2 checklists. I've got the checklist that that I'm inspected on as a teacher, and the checklist which I know are worthwhile. 50. Diagrams. It's the easiest step from arrangement of cubes in regular patterns to illustrate by rectangular diagrams for solutions and problems. Error. A frequent error that children are apt to make is to confuse the value of a number used with the fraction they represent. In comparing, for instance, 6 and 48, the child knows that 6 eighths make 48, but in making a fraction, it confuses the figures that express 6 and a sixth of 48. The error should be remedied immediately by concrete illustration. He can immediately see that 8 rows of 6 make 48, and that 6 is an eighth of 48. Any other errors that may arise should be removed by concrete illustration as soon as they are discovered. Okay, I'm just running out of gas here. That's a wrap to page 77. I'll take a break here and publish this off here, including the word mathematics. I picked that up here. So it is really interesting. Just to remember, this is from 1920. So it's nearly 100 years ago, and back before the internet, back before digital stuff, back before metric, and he's bashing away. And what's not shown here in this book is how he adapted this to teach binary or digital maths early on. And it's not shown here is his social work, looking after poor people and Aboriginal communities. It's not shown in this, but it's still nonetheless interesting. The challenge for me is to learn from this, cumulatively learn and add notes to guide what I'm doing and actually add value to what I'm doing. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.